proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
This past week, I was greatly encouraged, and I will tell you why. For many decades, we have been praying for our country, the United States of America, as I hope you are praying for your country wherever you live in the world. We are called upon through Scripture to pray for our country and to pray for those in government. And we have been doing this diligently for our country. So I'll tell you why I was encouraged. I attended a conservative political event in my community, where we had an acting U.S. representative as our special speaker. And I saw hope for America in this young man. He is a very clear-thinking young man of deep convictions, not only in God, but he has also taken the time to study our nation's founding history and actually read some of the original writings of the founders. And this makes all the difference in the world, because what many people have been told about the founders are lies. And he not only read about well-known names of those that you might think of, he read documents that pointed out the convictions of those who participated in the American Revolution, whose names are not well known, and that could have had a very good excuse for not participating in such an undertaking that would require them to lay down their lives. But they did. They did participate. I'm referring to this part of our history, which is hidden from the eyes of the average American, because our true history ceased to be taught a long time ago. But now it is so necessary to know that history and implement the principles that God could bless in this nation. This must happen if America stands a chance to restore itself. So welcome to the program as we look at this topic. Our national corruption is not all Congress's fault. I'm Nena Arias, and again, it is my pleasure to welcome you to this program. I'm sure we have all experienced at one time or another a very uncomfortable situation where we were confronted with evidence that we did something wrong. Do you remember those times? I do. Growing up in school, perhaps as a young person, and even as an adult. Needless to say that those situations are not only uncomfortable, but they are very embarrassing. But we have two choices. In that situation, we either humble ourselves and admit our guilt with a plan to rectify and make restitution, or we can let pride get the best of us and continue in denial and refuse to take responsibility for our actions. I can assure you that the first option or the first choice will render a better result than the latter, which will only sink us into a deeper hole of being an even more pathetic individual for ourselves and those around us. That is the choice that we have when we have to rectify something in our lives. For us here in the United States, that time has come. We must face the error of our ways, accept our responsibility, rectify, and move on toward a better future. The United States of America is no accident of history. It didn't just happen. Our founding era is full of people who loved God and their fellow men enough to make the right decisions and even to lay down their lives for this nation and future generations. You don't just risk your life on a whim. When you enter into something that is going to require for you to lay down your life, you better know what you're getting into. And it requires a deep, deep conviction in the objective or the goal that you are striving for. These people could never have foreseen what their sacrifice would accomplish. Nevertheless, they were willing to pay that price due to the convictions of their heart. Because you see, people live in terms of what they believe. When you have to take such expensive risks, you better believe it, that your convictions are going to be strong enough to carry you through. The early colonists came to the realization that the oppressive, tyrannical government they were living under would eventually destroy them. And not only them, but their children and their children's children. A generational situation. It was a very heavy yoke of bondage that was placed upon them by the British crown. So they decided to act upon the very sentiment that patriot Patrick Henry expressed, and I quote, "Give me liberty or give me death," end of quote. You lay down your life when you are being destroyed by someone else anyway. You risk it. And these individuals laid it all down on the line. We all have an obligation to face evil, and we either get absorbed by it and willingly allow it to absorb us, or we turn our back on evil ways and expose them for what they are. Nobody can live in neutrality. You know why? Neutrality does not exist. You are either on one side or the other. And so when we see evil, we must make a decision. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." End of quote. This is what the Bible teaches. Don't participate in things that you know belong in the realm of darkness or that are plain evil or wrong. It says your choice is rather to expose them. And that is what we are called upon to do. Two commands are given in this verse. First, we are to completely avoid participating in wrongful acts, no matter what it costs us. Sometimes we have to make decisions where even our family members will be against us. But if we know we are making the right decision, then that is a risk we have to take. Paul's command here implies that sin is associated with darkness, which is opposed, of course, to the light of those living for Christ. Now here comes another factor that we must consider. If you consider yourself a follower of Christ, or what we call a Christian or a biblical Christian, your choice is only one, and that is to expose the darkness. This is a command for all people. And I must say, not just for believers in Christ, but one thing is for sure, it is especially for believers in Christ. We are held in even more strict measure or accountability before God for stopping evil. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." End of quote. Inaction in the face of evil makes us an accomplice, a contributor to that evil. The second command is a contrast to merely avoiding sin. And this instruction means to unmask it, to point out what is sinful, what is wrong. You don't have to be a believer in Christ to know right from wrong. You heard that right. There are no excuses for anyone. Oh, you may explain away the responsibility from yourself, but that doesn't exempt you from doing the right thing. We are all going to be held accountable for what we did and did not do, believers and unbelievers alike. But I repeat, doing the right thing is especially true for biblical Christians. Believers must define right and wrong as guided by God's word and encourage others and themselves to live according to what is right. We don't have to have or play at a guessing game, what is right, what is wrong. God's word clearly spells it out for us. We have only to look at the Ten Commandments, and that spells out everything that we need to know about life, observing those 10 building blocks for all of life. Now, this is a powerful counter to the frequent charge against Christians of being judgmental. Have you heard that? Christians many times are accused of being judgmental. And the sad part is that they accept that accusation that we are not to judge. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, do it rightly. You can judge, but do it rightly. And we must first live a careful personal life that is guilt-free in what we are judging. Don't accuse others or judge others of something that you are doing and expect them to do any different. We must also be humble and accurate in judgment, like John chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." End of quote. We are actually commanded as believers to point out sin for the benefit of others, as James chapter 5, verse 20 instructs us. So do not ever accept the lie that we are not to judge. Everybody judges. We cannot live without judgment. We have to assess every action, every thought, every situation that we find ourselves in and judge what is our participation or lack thereof. We must measure the cost of all things and judge whether we are fulfilling or not fulfilling our obligation in everything. We cannot live without proper judgment. So regarding our nation, as we see all the wrong decisions and policies being implemented, we must point them out. Failure to do so makes us all complicit in those wrongdoings. So as you can see, regarding the condition of our nation, it's not all Congress's fault of the things that are not working. We have all contributed in some form or another. Both governing parties have allowed themselves to be bribed to receive a kickback of some kind. and we the people have allowed them to get away with it. And this is one of the reasons why the founders put checks and balances in all the forms of government so that no one could grow more powerful than the next branch or the next faction of our government. And this includes the people. Even though the people are mentioned as being the most responsible, but we are all responsible before God for our wrongdoings. The Bible is absolutely clear about how Christians must react to such things when exposed to them wherever they present themselves. We are to have no part or take no part in the works of darkness, meaning not even a little bit. And this is where we have to be very careful. Many times as humans, we reason that something is not as bad as another, so it must be okay. God, who keeps track of the origin of every action, every inspiration, every intention of the heart, there's no guessing game with him. It's either right or wrong. Having no part means avoiding the works of darkness altogether. And that means avoiding those who do them. In fact, we are told to expose them. Because whoever breaks man's just laws also breaks God's laws. And if you break God's laws in time, they're going to break you. Because God does not speak idle words. What he has said, he will fulfill. He always means what he says. And he's very meticulous, very detailed in every action, in every word that we participate in. He's keeping score. He's keeping score. Otherwise, he would not be just in his judgment of us or in the accountability that we must have before him. He gathers the evidence so that we will know when we go before his presence that God is just in what he is going to dictate is our final resting place. The nature of fallen humans is always to gravitate toward evil. If you're not careful, your attitudes, your thought life will gravitate toward evil. That could be selfishness, just thinking about yourselves, what is good for you, what is convenient for you, what you would like. But just thinking about ourselves is evil in itself. So you can see, no one is an exception. We will all gravitate toward evil if we are not careful. And this is what got the pre-flood generation in deep trouble with God, who ultimately had to destroy them. And he describes what happens to the human race when they're not careful. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." End of quote. Dear friends, this has not changed. The only thing that can alter that natural process, if you want to say it that way, is the power of God that will come and help us. With our permission, with our participation, with our decisions to pull away from evil. Resist it, if you will. That's the only way evil gets broken. Otherwise, we fall right in line with it. When Jesus was speaking about the end of the age, he mentioned that it will be like in the days of Noah. Now, we just described what that generation was like, always thinking of wickedness. And in Matthew 24, Verse 37 and 39, Jesus said, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." End of quote. Does this describe what we are seeing today? How sacred is marriage? People think nothing of entering into one marriage, two marriages, three marriages, four marriages, five marriages, six marriages. Marriage no longer has the value in many people's eyes as it should be. Other people, and I would venture to say too many people, don't even bother to get married. They just agree to live together until it doesn't work. There is nothing holding that relationship together. So when they get tired of each other, which can be many years down the road, don't get me wrong, but still, it is too easy for people to not observe marriage as it should be observed. And so people enter into relationships. They live together as if they were husband and wife, but the commitment is not there. So it becomes too easy for people to slip out of those relationships and move on and find another relationship that will probably end up the same way. Could you have imagined how hard doing business would have been in Noah's day, when all they thought about was evil continually, and every intention, whether it was business or private or otherwise, was always with a wicked heart? What kind of life is that? Do you see similarities today of these attitudes? I do. It's so hard now to enter into any kind of a business agreement without having lawyers look through all the contracts and the small print, because there's always, or can be always, an evil pitfall there for the person entering into a business contract with you to take advantage of you. The same is true in many other areas of life right now, even as we speak. Everyone's going about their business, just as in Noah's day, when the flood of God's judgment came, sweeping them all away. Isaiah describes this kind of condition this way in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly." End of quote. You see, these types of attitudes carry on from one generation to another generation. And the depletion of good values and good morals happens to any generation that does not adhere to doing things right. Is there anything more evil than taking an innocent human life? Is there anything more evil? What more drastic measure can you do to a person once you take their life? It's all lost. You have harmed that person the most that you can harm them. So there's nothing more evil than taking an innocent life. And I don't know what would be worse than that. But imagine a nation which permits and even funds the slaughter of babies. What could be more egregious in the eyes of God? And that's about 66 million babies that have died since Roe versus Wade was legalized in 1973. How corrupt can you act? Is it any wonder that the children have grown up to be corrupt too? They learn from the sin of their parents. They're taking up their parents' sin and even outdoing them in some cases. Sin does not stay small. Its nature is to grow into more and more and more grotesque and hardened behavior. That is its nature. So what Isaiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, the same applies to any nation whose people are loaded with willful sinning. Willful sinning. And I put that word in there purposefully because we're all sinners and we commit wrong acts. But it's very different when you're willful about it and you don't do anything once you realize that you have sinned. God is no respecter of persons or nations, and in his righteous judgment, he can do it to any nation, because sinfulness will always bring God's judgment unless there is repentance. And he is so merciful that to our last dying breath, here on earth, he gives us the opportunity to repent before him. That is how merciful he is. God is merciful. So in conclusion in this topic, that Congress and those in positions of legislature are not the only ones at fault. In conclusion, a nation that exalts God, God will exalt that nation. And it's obvious that he has exalted the United States for hundreds of years. But we all know that that is changing. Why? Because we changed. And God has been more than merciful for a long time, giving us opportunities to turn from our wicked ways. And we've not done so. Today, we exalt ourselves as a nation before other nations, and we're often telling the other nations what to do when we can't even keep our own house in order. We must pray for repentance to this nation all across the board and not just point the finger at Congress or anyone else. We need to begin in the churches and spread it into the neighborhoods and into the cities, the states, and throughout the nation, and even spreading it around the world. It is God who removes kings and sets them up. Let's humble ourselves before God, pray for forgiveness, and let us be saved by the power of God and not fall into his judgment. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.